Today, bye-bye home equity as prices correct. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is Post covering finance and prop news. Consider this. If you've been a homeowner for at least a year or so, in most parts of the country, you're going to be sitting on a tidy paper profit, probably facilitated by a big mortgage. Nice. But for those who are trying to get into the home ownership game for the first time, it has become a nightmare. And now that home equity prize may be cracking. It's worth remembering that former Prime Minister John Howard once said no one ever complained to him about the price of their house going up. And former Housing Minister Tanya Plibersek, who is now Social Services Minister, said people should just take a deep breath about housing prices, implying small falls now, offsetting big rises previously, are in the public good. Which is easy to say, but for many, the thought of that paper profit shrinking is now becoming a major issue. And I think we should expect more falls ahead. Sure, rebalancing the market by dialing down the generous tax advantages that property investors enjoyed is overdue. And it was always going to weigh heavily on market sentiment and prices whenever that happened. There's a valid argument that this is medicine we had to take, regardless of how unpleasant it is. And of course, it's built up over a couple of generations, thanks to, frankly, plain bad policy. And now the equity drops ahead are likely to be significant. Okay then, but who gets the blame? Although the Australian obsession with property means Albanese's opponents inevitably will look exploit the fact that house price falls are accelerating and the pain is real, Labour is clearly betting that homeowners will see these falls in context. Why else would Housing Minister Claire O'Neill be prepared to concede that the national housing market is now in a correction, as she did on Wednesday morning? We've just been through what has been extremely high house price growth, O'Neill told ABC Radio National. In the period from COVID, basically before COVID to today, house prices have gone up just in that time by more than 50%. And we're seeing a correction on that, O'Neill told the ABC. She said that these changes were helping first home buyers to win at auctions. Treasurer Jim Chalmers, who last week softened those comments by the housing minister that the market was in a downturn, said on Sunday that volatility was not unusual. It's best not to overreact to data from a week or two, or even a month or two, Chalmers said on ABC TV Insiders. We saw in 2022, for example, a softening in house prices because interest rates started to go up. So it's not especially unusual to see that sort of volatility in different markets. Well, I don't know about that. It seems to me that we're actually in a perfect storm. And I'm betting that this housing correction is indeed far from being over, and there will be some really serious, nasty side effects as a result. Property research firm SQM forecasts Sydney's house prices will drop between 7 and 9% this calendar year, and Melbourne's will fall by 5 to 7%. And Morgan Stanley analysts have tipped house prices could fall by as much as 10%, which would make this the largest price correction in 40 years. And talk of more home prices falling emerged again from Domain, who released their forecast report for the financial year 2027. And it tells a striking tale of likely winners and losers in the national real estate scene through to June 2027. It points to the combination of interest rate hikes, federal budget tax reforms, global and domestic uncertainty, and local demand and supply mismatches, all together triggering the wide range of results across the country. The research points to a quite diverse picture, Domain Chief Residential Economist Dr. Nicola Powell said. Any change in interest rates affects cities like Sydney, Melbourne, and Canberra the most because buyers there tend to borrow more, while they tend to be better at providing more housing supply. On the other hand, Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth have very undersupplied housing markets and demand is still ahead of where supply is. They'll still have price growth, but it'll be more subdued. It's like they've been racing along the highway and have just hit a school zone and had to hammer on the brakes. Some areas' prices were growing over 20% a year, and now they're below 10%, which is a massive slowdown. Sydney house prices could fall by as much as $122,000 in the 2027 financial year, as a combination of successive rate rises, the high cost of living, and Labour's property tax changes spook buyers across the country, Domain says. Houses at Sydney's top end are expected to take the biggest hit, while Melbourne's house prices could slip by as much as $84,000 and potentially push the median price below $1 million for the first time since 2021. Recently, Sydney values have dropped 1.1% and Melbourne's by 0.9% over the past month. Domain's forecast is based on five different modelling scenarios, with Sydney prices expected to fall between 7%, equivalent to $122,000, and 3%, equivalent to $52,000. For Melbourne, the forecast falls range between 8%, that's down $84,000, and 4%, down $42,000. And Domain expects Canberra prices growth to track flat for 2027, or fall by somewhere around $43,000. While growth in mid-sized capitals of Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth are forecast to slow between 3 and 10%. The cost to build a home was still high and sellers eventually would withdraw from the market, which would stop home values going into free fall, she said. In the apartment market, Domain predicted that Brisbane would overtake Sydney to become the most expensive city to buy a unit, as the city battled with labour shortages caused by the demands of building a limbic infrastructure and shortages of the housing type. The competitive nature of construction for infrastructure versus construction for housing, the pressure is there, the pressure is still going to remain, said Powell. And unit price growth is predicted to outperform that of houses in Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, a change from houses being the dominant growth type. While this may, in theory, help potential new buyers to enter the market, borrowing power has been reduced significantly thanks to the three interest rate hikes and the removal of tax incentives for investors. Actually, we're already seeing some recent first-time buyers who bought in Sydney and Melbourne with the 5% deposit from the government scheme now sitting in negative equity. And of course, stock on market continues to climb. Westpac's time to buy a dwelling index slumped 14.3% in the 3 months to May to hit an extremely weak low, and they predict a 20% decline in housing turnover for the second half of the year. Indeed, the latest auction clearance rates for the weekend revealed the fact that Sydney auctions sank to their lowest clearance rate in more than 6 years, and Melbourne had the weakest week in almost 5 years as the number of homes offered dropped and as sellers tried to avoid a softening market. Vitalis' preliminary clearance rate came in nationally at 49.2%, while the DFA calculated true clearance came in at just 37.7% as we compare those listed for sale against those sold. Catality thinks the final rate will be closer to 40% following the previous week's 42.3%. There were 1,771 auctions scheduled across the country. That's down almost 6% from the previous week's 1,880, according to Catality. The figures add to the picture of a housing market downturn that the country's political leaders are indeed playing down. Weakness continued in Sydney, where a 0.1% drop to 47.3% pulled the city's preliminary auction clearance rate to its lowest since April 2020. The true clearance was 35.2%. And in Sydney, the scheduled number of 642 auctions was equal to that of the week earlier, but was still 17% below this time last year. Melbourne's preliminary clearance rate ticked down to 50.2% from 50.6% a week ago, making it the lowest initial read since September 2021, when the city was under COVID-19 pandemic lockdown, and true clearances came in at 40.6%. Adelaide actually was the only city with a notable auction market to buck the trend of falling volumes, with the number of scheduled auctions rising to 115 from 93 a week earlier, so a very small market anyway. And the preliminary clearance rate soared to 68.7% from 40%, making it the highest preliminary read in 5 weeks, and with a true clearance of just 40%. Brisbane recorded the lowest preliminary clearance rate of any capital at 39.3%, but this was still 6 percentage points above the previous week's 33.3% result, and a figure then revised unusually upwards to 35.4%, according to Catality. True clearance came in at 33.1%, though. And in the ACT, the preliminary clearance rate fell to 39.5% from 47.1%, as the number of scheduled auctions slipped to 47 from 63, so the true clearance was just 31.9%. The combination of higher interest rates and the reduction in borrowing power, the broader economic uncertainty, and the budget changes have certainly damaged sentiment. Investor activity has dropped dramatically as a result of the budget changes, but anecdotal evidence from inside the big banks and from mortgage brokers and from property valuers suggests owner-occupiers, including first home buyers, are simply keeping their powder dry for the moment on the expectation that prices will continue to fall, and if they delay, they can buy more later. Home loan inquiry data from Equifax suggests borrower interest has fallen sharply in the past 4 weeks. Westpac said this week that its reading of the inquiry data suggests new housing finance approvals could dive by 15% in the September quarter. And the Equifax Executive General Manager, Moses Samara, has also noted a surprising drop-off in refinancing activity. He thinks some borrowers may feel stuck in their current loans. They want to refinance, but the cost of living pressures and the serviceability criteria they need to meet on a new loan mean they're better off staying put. They are effectively mortgage prisoners. So when the spring selling season starts in August and the level of stock on market jumps, auction clearance rates will probably experience a fresh seasonal fall, weighing even further on the confidence of anyone trying to sell a property. If the RBA were to increase rates again in August, that's still a distinct possibility given the sharp rise in trimmed mean inflation that we saw on Wednesday for the CPI in May from 3.4% to 3.6%, the pain in the housing sector will get worse. And here we need to remember that the $3 trillion boost to household wealth that Australians have enjoyed in the past 2 years, thanks to rising home prices, equity markets, and superannuation balances, they've been a powerful drive of consumption. But actually, history tells us that this can go the other way too. A reverse wealth effect has consequences for the economy as value leaks away. And the question becomes, at what point will we see government intervention to try and stem that tide? It's a very important question because a hit to property sector confidence will seep into broader economic confidence and vice versa. And with consumer and business confidence already in the doldrums, that risks a more broad economic hit and lower growth. The swing towards encouraging more investment in new residential construction, something which the government is now trying to do to achieve its housing targets, of course those very questionable targets, it now collides with a fresh rise in construction costs, which were repeatedly called out by the RBA Governor Michelle Bullock this month as a renewed source of inflationary pressure. So there is a gap between approvals to build and residential units being completed, and it's growing and way below target. And a gap, therefore, between the true market price of existing properties and of newly constructed properties, which is now perhaps somewhere between 20 and 30%. So while supply is still an issue, truth is that price is probably more of an issue now. And meantime, rents are beginning to rise, driven by more limited supply and higher investor costs. And new bank lending is down, which could pressurise the upcoming banking sector results. And now, belatedly perhaps, even migration rates are down, well, just a little. So those expecting just a short, mild correction might well be in for a surprise. And meantime, the Hormuz kinetics continues, and the risks to energy supplies and prices does remain significant. Factor that into your thinking, and my more extreme scenarios for potential price falls still seems, well, quite realistic. As always, price falls tend to start gently and in just small patches across the country, but they can spread like wildfire and then start to feed back into deeper drops. I suspect we are at just the start of this process, which could well last for months and accelerate further as those paper profits evaporate. Now, this is the property correction we must have. The consequences will be significant. And the question becomes, at what point will the government have to reverse course? I guess we will have to wait and see. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.